evening. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Doherty Report. I'm Michael Sario. This is a show that I wasn't expecting to do. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you and just lay it all out with you this evening. I am the executive producer and co-host, my wife, Elizabeth Doherty. Tonight is in the hospital. And over the next few minutes, I'm going to explain and take you behind the scenes of some things that we haven't talked about on the show before and let you know. You know, we've been kind of cryptic in the way that we've been going about things over the past few months, and I'm going to tear down the wall and just let you know what's happening tonight. In the little tease that I put up on Facebook just a few minutes ago, I said that, we were transparent about, what we do and the way we live and the way we do this show and the way we, go about what we do on a day-to-day basis. And I'm going to take you on a journey here with us and with me in particular, because I can't speak for Elizabeth and I'm not going to. I wouldn't dare to do so, but I'm going to share what I have seen and what I know and what I've witnessed and what I'm going through, and you'll get a better understanding of where we are tonight. We're in the hospital. In the tease that I wrote, I said that call came today, and you never really expect that telephone call, but that call came this afternoon, and we're in the hospital right now, awaiting word on whether Elizabeth can receive a liver transplant. And, like I said, it was not something that we were expecting this soon. Let me take you behind the scenes. When I first met Elizabeth back in 2010, I knew that there was something going on, because she got tired easily. And, we were palling around doing the radio show, but she would get tired easily. And I always wondered, well, what's going on? Why is it that you take these naps? Why is it you need to take the extra rest during the daytime and then not sleep properly at night? And it took a long, long, long time to get an honest diagnosis. We went through doctors. Because everyone had a preconceived notion of what was going on that would cause so much damage to her liver. Everyone had a preconceived idea in the medical industry of what was going on with my wife and what was going on with her liver. And they always made these connections that weren't true. It was unbelievable. We were mistreated. We've talked about this in the past on the program about, what happens when a medical profession makes judgment calls on you based upon what they think and what they see. And then suddenly the way that they treat you is a bit different. Well, that's kind of the boat that we were in for a long time. Until we got a proper diagnosis as to what was going on with her liver. There is a DNA problem that we've discovered that she has. Something genetic that causes her body to attack the liver. There's also been a long history of taking vitamins, just over-the-counter vitamins. That any one of us could pick up at the drugstore and take to try to feel better, to try to get perked up. So she took a lot of vitamins over the years when she was in her 20s and 30s. And all that apparently is caught up with her. And tonight, I'm sitting in a little waiting room in one of the large hospitals here in the Central Florida area. Elizabeth, we got the call today that a liver was available. Please come to the hospital. So we made a mad rush to the hospital, and they're testing her blood right now. We'll get the word any time now whether the liver is a suitable candidate for transplant. And a lot of mixed emotions. Oh my gosh. A lot of mixed emotions. Because let's just walk through this. For a liver to be available, that means that someone is passing. And there were a lot of questions. Well, who was this person? And of course, you know, because of HIPAA laws, we're not able to find out hardly anything about the donor, about the person who is dying or may have at this point at 6 o'clock, a little after 6, may have already passed. And the doctors are, the way they describe it, putting eyes on the liver for the first time to see whether it is in the shape that they think it is in, so that it can be transplanted into liver, into Elizabeth. And if it is at 8 o'clock tonight, they'll take her downstairs, they'll get her ready, they'll prep her, they'll do everything that they need to. And then at 9 o'clock begin surgery, a 6-hour surgery. I'm going to tell you that Elizabeth doesn't do well in that kind of situation. She never has. Back in, I guess it was 2011, she had to have an appendix removed, an appendectomy. And it was dangerous. It was very dangerous. So we decided that... Let me rephrase that. She decided that I should go on the air tonight and share with you where we are, what's going on. Obviously, you know, she's going to be out of commission for a while. There's no way she's going to be back in front of a microphone for at least a week, at the very least. But we wanted to share with you what's happening, because, you know, again, we look at our listeners, we look at you as family, you know, and that's what family does. We share each other's burdens, we share each other's tears, we share each other's pain, we share each other's joy, and we ask for prayer. That's what a family does. And as I'm sitting here tonight, I'm going to tell you, I'm in a little waiting area that was specifically designed for kids. And since there's no kids in the hospital at this time, this was an ideal place to set up a little baby studio and my headset, microphone, and my laptop and put this broadcast together for you. And I'm asking for your prayer tonight for my wife. She desperately needs it. Her spirits are good. Her emotions are mixed. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of questions. You know, will this make a huge appreciable difference in her quality of life? You know, and that there's always that fear. Well, where is this donor liver coming from? Is it healthy? The hospital's assuring us that, you know, in a lot of cases, even though this liver is being donated by someone who is a little older, that the human liver is an amazing organ. And with proper care and treatment and tender, loving care, it can last 70, 80, 90 years and longer. And that's what we're rolling the dice on tonight. That this liver that, you know, is being transplanted into her later on tonight will do just that, will appreciably increase her quality of life. But I'm asking for your prayers for Elizabeth this evening. Prayers of more than, you know, I have the utmost confidence in the medical staff, but also for a peace and calmness over the situation and to alleviate the stress and alleviate the worries so that she can focus her energies instead of on those fears, instead of on the healing process on the other side of this. I mean, they could take care of, obviously, the stress and anxiety leading up to it. But it's the period afterwards to make sure there's no complications, there's no bleeding, there's no, you know, rejection of this new liver. I didn't even know if she wanted me to mention. You know, when we were in the car driving over to the hospital, she goes, "I want you to go on the air tonight, a regular time, and talk about, you know, what's happening." And I said, "Well, how much do you want me to give out?" She says, "Tell everything. Tell them." I said, "That this is a liver transplant?" And she said, "Yes." So that's exactly what's happening. I'm in the hospital right now. Like I said, she is, in fact, when I left the room to come into this little, you know, kids' play area, she was, they had already taken about 10 to 15 vials of blood. Oh my God. And then they were coming in to transport her down to x-ray to take a set of x-rays one more time before surgery. We'll know for certain in the next few minutes if that liver again is a suitable candidate for transplant. And then if everything checks out, they'll take her down, like I said, at 8 o'clock, prep her, and then surgery begins at 9, and it's about a 6-hour operation that'll start around 9 o'clock tonight. So indeed, that's the situation. That's where we are. We're in a very, very good environment, a very good hospital for doing this type of work. They do amazing work. One of the things that the transplant, if you never have had any exposure to it, one of the things that transplant hospitals do, and they are monitored for their survival rates. You know, how do the patients do after the surgery? What is the 1-year survival rate? What is the 5-year survival rate? And the numbers are very, very impressive at this hospital. And the reason they're very impressive is because, quite frankly, the hospital's done an amazing job prepping Elizabeth for this, getting her ready. And if she was not a suitable candidate for transplant, they would not have put her on the transplant list. Let's spend a couple of moments talking about that transplant list and how important that is. We came here. They did a lot of testing of her, made sure that there was no other problems. That woman has been poked and prodded and tested everything you can imagine. They've done cancer checks. They've done, you know, lung. They did, of course, the colonoscopy and everything else to make sure there were no problems so that they would not be transplanting a liver into someone who was ill. And Elizabeth is in perfect health. That's what's the puzzling thing of all of this. That if you were to look at her, and there are days when, you know, she feels better than others, and we've talked about this before. You know, if you were to look at her, you would not know that there was a serious medical problem. So they deemed that she was a good candidate for the transplant list. Her condition was such that they put her at the top of the list. And then that call came at around noon today. And then the first question was, well, my God, this was quick. What do we do? You know, and the first inclination is to say, I'm not ready for this. And then the reality sets in. Well, the reality is if you say no, then, well, someone else is going to get this liver. And, you know, they're very careful in the selection process. You just can't take a liver from a donor and put it in somebody. The blood obviously has to match the blood type, tissue match, They also have to make sure that the size of the person that it came from is roughly the same size of the person that it's going into. And Elizabeth is a very small woman. She's not big. She's talked about it. She's 5'6". She's very lightweight. She's strong as hell. But the donor was apparently of the same size. So when that call came, and, you know, to get a liver like that is an amazing gift. So it took a couple of telephone calls, and, you know, we made the decision to jump in the car and head over here tonight, and that's where we are. If, and this is just something that I wouldn't wish on anyone, if you're ever in a situation where you have a decision to make like this, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. And if you have a family member, and this to the bigger issue, if you have a family member who has, I don't know how else to put this, but if you have a family member who has a drinking problem, don't hesitate to get them treatment. But the bigger issue is, maybe it wasn't just drinking that caused the liver to suffer the damage. And that's exactly what, you know, the doctors we ran into assumed incorrectly. They assumed incorrectly that it was as a result of alcoholism or alcohol abuse that Elizabeth was having the problems that she was. And it wasn't the case. As we've come to find out, a second, third, fourth, fifth opinion finally found what was going on, what was really going on. That there was a genetic component to it. The years of vitamins, just regular vitamins. So get the treatment. Get the treatment. And if you don't like what the doctor's telling you, find another doctor. Doctors, quite frankly, are like lawyers. There's a lot of them out there. And you know what? Someone will get you the answers you're looking for. You just have to be your biggest advocate. You just have to be your biggest advocate. And don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. So that's the situation tonight. I'm going to keep this short. I'm going to get back to the room. And I will update you on social media and let you know how she's doing. And then maybe tomorrow night we'll pop in, depending on the circumstances, and give you an update on her condition. But I'm going to ask you to say a prayer for her tonight. This is a woman that, you know, loves what she does with this radio program, loves talking to you, loves sharing with you. And tonight she needs your prayers, and I hope you'll do just that, that you'll remember her. All right, so I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go back to the room. I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you listening. And thank you. God bless you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Michael Serio, executive producer of The Doherty Report. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.